Hello, this is Dee with the Vermilion County News for August 14th, 2017. We'll begin our reading today with the front page article entitled Modern Look, DHS to Debut New Band Uniforms by Carol Rem, Danville. When Danville High School's Band of Vikings steps out onto the field during its first competition next month, the members will debut a new look. After more than two decades of wearing the same drab maroon wool uniforms, the marching band will sport crisp new maroon and black uniforms accented with a white yoke and gold metallic trim. A row of three shiny gold Viking V's affixed with Velcro run down the front of each coat. The uniforms also include gauntlets with gold buttons that go around each member's wrists and a flat-top shako hat decorated with a large gold V and a one-foot-high white feather plume. DHS band director Ryan Kraft said the Band of Vikings' old wool uniforms, which have been around since 1995, had been repaired and mended many times over the years. In May, Kraft received the District 118 Board's approval to purchase 150 new marching band and four drum major uniforms for $53,153. They were purchased from DeMoulin Uniforms of Greenville, Illinois. The new uniforms are made of a lightweight, washable polyester fabric, but more important, the length of the new uniform pants and coat sleeves are customizable to the students by using snaps rather than sewn hems. It's a cleaner, leaner, more modern fit, said Sue Lewis, one of several band parents who helped fit the uniforms last week during the high school's two-week band camp. We had a crew of four or five moms that measured them, she said. We have everyone fitted and completely sized. We made sure their hat fit and that they have gauntlets that go around their wrists, Lewis added. The uniforms, have snaps, so there's no sewing, and the sleeve and pant lengths can be adjusted. DHS senior Neil Patel, who was in his second year as drum major, tried on his mostly white drum major uniform last week. I like them a lot, he said, when asked about the new uniform. They have a modern, futuristic look to them. In addition, he said, the new uniforms are more comfortable to wear. They're lighter, so if it rains, it will be easier and quicker to dry out, Neil said. The other ones are bulky, but these are lightweight, so we can move around in them like we're wearing a t-shirt. Fellow DHS senior Davin Guard, who has been in marching band all 4 years, said being able to wear a new uniform his senior year is a treat. They're nicer than the old ones. The old ones look really aged out, he said. They are way lighter than the old ones. With the old ones, we could barely move in them. Davin added that his favorite part of the new uniforms is the row of gold V's on the coat. The Band of Vikings will wear the new uniforms when they perform at competition for the first time September 16th at the Morton Marching Band Invitational. Before the new uniforms are unveiled in Morton, however, a new maroon and white band of Vikings banner, complete with the Danville High School seal, will be previewed at home. The old banner was from the 80s, Kraft said. The new banner will make its debut at the Labor Day Parade. Our next article is entitled District 118 Schools Ready for Students' Return by Carol out of Tilton. The wind blows continuously across the open land around Southwest Elementary School on Catlin-Tilton Road. Built in 2001, Southwest is the Danville District 118's newest school, but its original asphalt shingled roof was worn out. At the beginning of the year, Buildings and Grounds Director Skip Truex told the school board the roof at Southwest had lost hundreds of shingles, causing leaks in some of the classrooms. It's always windy out here, Truex said last week as he inspected the final stages of a roofing project at Southwest. A new steel roof, consisting of 700 10-foot by 10-foot squares, was installed during the summer. The roof was installed for $1.1 million by Industrial Services of Illinois in Mattoon. We started June 1st, Truex said of the project. There's a lot of roof when you get up there. You don't know how big it really is until you get up there. The roof was also painted blue to perfectly match the rest of the blue trim on the school. "We pulled a piece of gutter off to match the blue," he said. "Truax said the steel roof will last a long time. It's very high quality, and we didn't cut corners. In addition, the sidewalks in front of the school, which were crumbling due to winter ice removal efforts, have been replaced with new concrete. Southwest is one of several buildings in Danville District 118 that was spruced up or had significant work done over the summer. In addition to Southwest, Liberty Elementary also received a new roof. DHS has new windows and air conditioning, and other schools in the district had plumbing repaired, leaks fixed, and had sidewalks, driveways, and playground area repaved or replaced. All of the schools received a deep cleaning and freshly waxed floors. The projects were paid for by leftover money from a $3.4 million federally funded Qualified School Construction Bond, QSAB, the district received to replace windows at Danville High School, along with money the district had set aside for building repairs. I'm excited about the students coming back to school because I think they'll appreciate the changes, Truex said. At DHS, all of the new windows and built-in window air conditioning units have been installed in the original circa 1924 portion of the building, as well as the gym. The job was so difficult because of the courtyards, he said of the window replacement. The only thing we are waiting for is the specialty glass pieces for the arched windows. They're on back order. Other improvements made at the high school this summer included upgrading the electrical systems and installing new doors at the clock tower. Some offices have new flooring and paint, and there is new LED lighting in the cafeteria, he added. Some of the work at DHS, however, wasn't planned. For example, at the beginning of the month, the elevator motor at DHS broke down, and a crane had to be used to place the new motor on the roof. Days later, Truex added asked the city to close down Fairchild Street between 5 and 7 a.m. so another crane could hoist a new air conditioning unit onto the roof to cool the second floor and the library at DHS. The elementary schools were taken care of as well. A new concrete ramp constructed this summer in front of Edison Elementary School is compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act. The asphalt at Edison's playground also will be replaced. It's broken up badly, he said. In addition to Liberty Elementary School's new roof, the sidewalks, driveway, and teacher parking area were repaired or resurfaced. Like Edison, Liberty's playground asphalt also will be replaced. At Kenneth D. Bailey Academy, additional air conditioning was installed and a wall was built to divide a classroom into two. The restrooms at Garfield Elementary School were painted, which was one of many areas in the district to receive a fresh coat of paint. We've painted over 100 classrooms this summer, Truex said. At Mead Park Elementary School, the sidewalks were repaired and the driveway and parking lot were resurfaced. We even painted the school's sign and the bells that hang from the sign, he said. Truex credited his staff of custodians for working hard all summer to prepare the schools for the arrival of teachers and students on August 21st. We have a really, really great group of people, he said. We have the best staff right now. Truex said he is committed to keeping the district school buildings well maintained. We can afford to lose another building, he said, referring to Cannon Elementary School that was shuttered in January 2016 due to flooding and prompted the entire district to be reorganized. I go around to every school and make a list of things that need attention, Truex said. I ask the principals and custodians to tell me of anything they might see that needs to be repaired. I'm in and out of the buildings and constantly monitoring, he continued. I might be under a school or on a roof. It is never ending, really. Our next article is entitled Gift Helps Fund Schlarum Updates by Carol Rem, Danville. The children who attend Schlarum Academy's South Campus are in for a big surprise when they return to school on Wednesday. The school at 1307 North Walnut Street has undergone a major transformation this summer, particularly its interior. The public will have a chance to view all the improvements made at the South Campus during an open house set for 2 to 4 p.m. today. Schlarm's back-to-school picnic will follow from 3 to 5 p.m. at the North Campus. Improvements to the pre-kindergarten through 6th grade school building and the parking lot the school shares with St. Paul's Catholic Church were made possible by two large gifts amounting to $100,000 each, given to the Schlarm Foundation from the late Rudy and Sylvia Mizosi, who were longtime parishioners. In his donation, Mr. Mizosi asked that it go to renovations of Schlarman's South Campus, and he gave another donation to the parish for the parking lot, Nancy O'Kane, president of the Schlarman Foundation, said. A committee of five, the Reverend Beau Schmidt, Schlarman Principal Gail Lewis, Raj Karanatu, O'Kane, and Project Manager Rich Carroll, met for the first time in June to prioritize the work that needed to be done. Realizing the monumental task ahead of them in such a short time frame, the committee hired professional organizer Diane Dawson to guide the project to completion. "We've been working on this since the day the kids got out of school," O'Kane said, adding that the school hasn't had any major improvements since the late 1960s. "I believe that when former students and some of the parishioners come here for the open house, there will be a lot of oohs and ahs," she said. "Visitors will notice a lighter and brighter foyer and hallways as soon as they step inside the school. New flooring, some of which was purchased with extra money raised by the parishioners, and LED lighting has been installed throughout the school, and much of the interior has received a fresh coat of paint. The LED lighting is totally different and brightens everything up," O'Kane said. "The lighting has really lit up the dark hallway, and painting it has made it modern and fresh. Just past the school's office, a new sign will welcome visitors. Different saints will be depicted on the freshly painted panels in the hallways, and new organization bins will provide students with a place to store school supplies and other items. Reorganizing the hallway with matching totes will give the school a neater, cleaner appearance, because this is where people come for spaghetti dinners and athletic events," O'Kane said. "We've been working on this since the day the kids got out of school." The teacher's lounge also received an update with the new carpeting, and new hand dryers were installed in the school's restrooms that also received a deep cleaning. New window blinds and Christian-themed rugs were purchased for all the classrooms. The most noticeable changes, however, are in the preschool wing, where a partial wall was removed to open up the space. "There's been a total revamp of the preschool area," O'Kane said. "Activity stations will be created, including an art center, a Lego center, and a study center. New cots will replace mats on the floor in the preschool sleeping area. The indoor sandbox area remains, but a new indoor swing set and slide, rock climbing wall, and an indoor merry-go-round fill the rest of the space. Parishioners have been donating funds to purchase all new toys for the preschool children." Preschool teacher Tina Bateman was enthusiastic about the improvements in her end of the school. "I never thought I would see this to this extent," she said. "Preschool is usually teacher-funded." With only days to go before the open house, O'Kane said she and the committee are grateful for the donations of time and money from the parishioners and for the cooperation they've received from contractors. "The contractors have been good about donating some of the work," she said. "Everyone has been great about stepping up and cleaning up. The parishes and the parishioners have been very generous. When you have a need, our parishioners are right there for you," she added. "We really appreciate it." O'Kane said a park bench will be placed at the south entrance of the school in memory of Rudy and Sylvia Mizosi. Our next article is entitled "Ehrlich to Leave Library Foundation" for the Commercial News. The Danville Library Foundation will soon seek a new executive director. Melody Ehrlich, who served as the foundation's executive director beginning in June of 2015, is retiring from her position effective September 30th. Ehrlich announced her decision to retire and leave the workforce to be able to enjoy more time with her family. "I've been in the professional workforce for over 40 years, and although they have been some of the best years of my life, "I'm looking forward to the next chapter," Ehrlich told her board members in her letter of notification. "It has been an honor and privilege to work with Melody Ehrlich. She has continued the great work of the Library Foundation, and she leaves us in a much stronger position as we move to the next chapter of the mission and goals of the Foundation. Although I am saddened to have Melody resign, I am so happy for her to be able to move into this next chapter of her life with a focus on her family," said Carla Boyd, Foundation Board President, in a release. Quote, "I look forward to identifying and working with a new executive director for the Danville Public Library Foundation, and I wish Melody much joy and happiness in the years to come," end quote. Ehrlich said she sincerely appreciates the support provided to her during her tenure at the foundation. "Working for and with the Danville Library Foundation Board of Directors, donors, volunteers, and the library staff has been a wonderful experience, and I will cherish these memories forever," Ehrlich said in the release. Ehrlich also served as a member of the foundation board from 2005 to 2014. Ehrlich has successfully managed the foundation's signature fundraising event, From Page to Stage, and increased the assets of the foundation in order to benefit programs and resources at the Danville Public Library. Ehrlich and the foundation also were honored with the 2016 Organizational Award for an Outstanding Foundation from the East Central Illinois Chapter of the Association of Fundraising Professionals. The award was given in recognition of the Danville Library Foundation's philanthropic contributions. Those interested in the position at the Danville Library Foundation can contact Carla Boyd at cboyd@dacc.edu. Our next article is entitled, Miss America, America's Choice, Voting Open. Staff Report, Danville. Miss Illinois Abby Foster will be competing in the Miss America competition on September 10th, but the public can help her now to make sure she advances to the top 15. America's Choice voting started earlier this week and closes on September 5th. The website to vote for Foster is at www.MSSAMERICA.org/vote. Foster has been passing out flyers and encouraging everyone to vote for her. Foster, 20, lives in Danville and is an Oakwood High School graduate. The chosen contestant will be announced during the 2018 Miss America competition live broadcast with the top 15. The remaining contestants in the top 15 are selected by the Miss America preliminary judges panel. The contestant selected by popular vote also might be one of the judges' selections. The 51 hopefuls for the crown will be rated in the following categories during the live broadcast: lifestyle and fitness in swimsuit, evening wear, talent, interview, and on-stage questions. The competition will be broadcast live from Atlantic City, New Jersey, on September 10th on ABC Television Network at 8 p.m. Central Time. Once again, to vote, go to www.missamerica.org/vote. Our next article is out of Oakwood, entitled, Have Fun, Kids, at Long Last New Play Area Open. When former Mayor Bob Jennings took office 6 years ago, one of his personal goals was new playground equipment at Oakwood's Town Park. But it was not one I personally aired for a while because of other priorities, said Jennings, who had that goal because of the condition of the existing equipment in the park. That's at the end of West Longstreth Street, and within 3 blocks of where the Kickapoo Rail Trail will cross the small Vermilion County town. Our playground was just aged, he said. It needed improvement. This week, Jennings, village officials, and residents finally saw their goal realized. After a ribbon-cutting ceremony, kids rushed to play on the new playground, which is accessible for children of all abilities. It's a great project, and the end product is awesome, said Jennings, who helped build all of the playground equipment this summer along with a group of volunteers. It took them 2 days of construction, but the effort to raise funds started more than 2 years ago. Actually, it didn't begin in earnest, Jennings said, until a few years after the first took office and Vermilion Advantage, the economic development office that serves all of the country, hired a staff member to help smaller communities with certain projects. Jennings listed a playground as one of Oakwood's desired projects, and Logan Kronk with Vermilion Advantage connected the village with grants and others willing to raise money or donate. "Logan helped us really get it kicking," Jennings said. Participants in a Vermilion Advantage-sponsored leadership development program, Leadership Tomorrow, picked the park for their fundraising project and eventually wrote the village a check for more than $9,000. Jennings said it was also the idea of those in that leadership program to build a playground accessible for all children, regardless their level of physical or mental abilities. Then Don and Dina Witzel, owners of the local McDonald's, donated another $5,000, and the Ronald McDonald House Charities kicked in another $5,000. The local Ambucks group helped as well. Jennings said those initial major contributions convinced him and others in Oakwood that their goal could be reached. Village trustees voted to contribute at least $25,000 from Oakwood's video gaming revenue money that Jennings said should be used for the good of the whole community. Other businesses and individuals began donating money or services too, and by this construction season, the town had all it needed to begin building a new all-inclusive playground. "I can't believe after all this time it's finally here," said village employee Julie Leverenz. And now we'll turn to obituaries. The first is for Barbara Lou Walter, 87, of Covington, Indiana, died Thursday, August 10th, 2017, after a short illness. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations be made to Wabash Chapel Church, Covington, Indiana, 47932, or the charity of one's choice. Visitation will be 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Daylight Time, Monday, August 14th, at Shelby Funeral Home, Covington. Services noon Eastern Daylight Time today at the funeral home, with Pastor Danine Rodriguez officiating. Burial will follow in Mount Hope Cemetery, Covington. Next, Dan Shahan, 76, of Fairmont, died at 4:04 p.m. Friday, August 11, 2017, at Champaign-Urbana Health and Rehab in Savoy. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Robinson Chapel, 103 Douglas Street, Catlin. Our next article is entitled A Stellar Teaching Opportunity: Schools Recognize Event Reaches Beyond Science, by Noelle McGee. For many students, the first day of the school year coincides with a rare and invaluable teaching opportunity, the total solar eclipse. Area educators said they're incorporating the solar spectacle, which takes place August 21st, into the day's lessons and activities in the hope of sparking students' interest in science and passion for learning, and possibly inspiring the next generation of scientists and explorers. "It's not something that's just local. It's all across the country," said Laura Linka, an 8th grade science teacher at Urbana Middle School. "It lets the kids know that science doesn't live in a book. It's an actual physical experience. It's something they may experience only once in their lifetime, so we want to make it something they will always remember," added Bill Taylor, principal at Southside Elementary in Champaign. A number of area districts, including Bement, Danville, Paxton Buxley, Loda, Prairieville, Ogden, Salt Fork, and Urbana, will provide NASA-approved eclipse glasses to every student, and in some cases, staff members, thanks to donations from their school foundations, parent-teacher organizations, local businesses, and individuals. Champaign's Unit 4 is providing them to all K through 8 students. Districts have or are in the process of modifying their schedule to accommodate viewing parties during the times when the eclipse will be visible. In East Central Illinois, the partial eclipse begins around 11:53 a.m. and ends 2:44 p.m., with the maximum eclipse occurring around 1:20 p.m. While not in the path of totality, people in the area can expect to see between 90 to 95% of the sun blocked. "We're hoping for a beautiful sunny day," said Mark Goodwin, principal of Edison Elementary in Danville. "For a lot of these kids, this will be the first time they've seen an eclipse. We want our students to go outside and view it in various stages. When the moon is starting to pass between the Earth and the sun, at its maximum magnitude, and then when more of the sun becomes visible again," said Cindy Heiniger, a sixth grade science teacher at Monticello Middle School. "Since the eclipse occurs so early in the school year, the first day for Urbana 7th and 8th graders, and most students in Vermilion County, some districts began preparing for it last year." Hlinka said last spring, Professor Leslie Looney from the University of Illinois Department of Astronomy was invited to speak to this year's 7th and 8th graders about the phenomenon, and he'll do the same for 6th graders on Friday. He talked about what to expect, why it's a big deal, and then he took a lot of questions, Hlinka said. Students at Urbana's University Laboratory School can take part in a similar seminar from Charles Gammy, a UI professor of astronomy and physics, during Friday's 30-minute uni period, said Assistant Director Carl Rodnitzer. Prior to going outside, educators plan to go over with students viewing safety procedures, including inspecting their glasses for scratches or damage and making sure their eyes are covered while looking at the sun. "We're also going to have volunteers to make sure the little ones keep their glasses on," said Bement Superintendent Sheila Greenwood. She said high school math teacher Marika Rosenberger plans to show NASA's live streaming video of the celestial event as it travels from the Oregon coast to the South Carolina coast. "Kids will be able to watch it and hear what NASA has to say about it," Greenwood said. "Of course, our science teachers are going crazy with this, but there are so many other subjects it ties in with. History, writing, art, it's cross-curricular." Educators said high school students will try to solve math problems related to astronomy, study famous astronomers, read narratives and poetry or journal about watching the eclipse. Prairie View Ogden Junior High students will do reports, said Superintendent Vic White. No matter what their grade level, Danville Curriculum Coordinator Mary Ellen Bunton hopes the eclipse piques students' curiosity. "The best thing that can happen is it gets them asking questions. Why did it happen? When's the next one?" We hope it builds their interest and their curiosity to keep learning. And now we'll turn to Rediscover Danville, Learn and Lead by Carol Nichols, Director, Illinois SBDC at DACC. April Jones loved preschool when she was a little girl in Hoopston. She loved playing school with all the other kids on her block. In fact, when she was in grade school, she'd go down to the dumpsters at Honeywell School at the end of the school year and scavenge school supplies teachers had thrown away to use for projects she led for the neighborhood children all summer. It was her dream to be a preschool teacher and even start her own preschool someday, and that is what she did. April was a teacher's aide, a classroom teacher, and director of a preschool in the Hoopston area, but she was always planning for the day she would have her own school. April researched all aspects of her business and was referred to the Illinois SBDC at DAC to review her business plan by Mayor Crusenberry. There was not a question asked that she hadn't thoroughly researched. Starting any new business is hard and often takes longer than expected. April got approval for her project in late summer. 26 days after groundbreaking, her building was complete, and by October, she had opened her doors to her first class in her new preschool, Learn and Lead Academy, at 409 West Washington Street in Hoopston. She offers morning and afternoon classes on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday schedule for 3 to 6-year-olds. The Academy in Hoopston is the winner of the Illinois SBDC at DAC 2017 Entrepreneur of the Year Award. This has been Dee reading the Vermilion County News for August 14th, 2017. I hope you have a great day. I've enjoyed reading with you and look forward to reading with you again soon.